The Infrastructure and Tourism Appropriations Subcommittee will come to order. Ms. Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Williamson.
Here.
Vice Chairpersons Maluka.
Here.
Representatives Arrington.
Here.
Bell.
Here.
Cheney.
Here.
Daly.
Here.
Harding. Ranking Member Hart. Representatives Lamarca. McFarland.
Here.
Mooney.
Here.
Placencia.
Here.
Romo.
Here.
Silvers.
Here.
Schlossberg.
Here.
Quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
All right, a quorum is present today. If you have a cell phone or device that makes noise, please turn it off or put it to vibrate. Good morning, members. It's good to see everybody. This week, today, we're going to have a presentation by the Department of Economic Opportunity, and we have a consent agenda for appropriations project bills. To refresh everyone's memory on the consent agenda process from last year, any member wishing to vote no on any bill on the consent agenda, they need to make sure that they fill out a nay vote consent agenda form. Ms. Sabrina has those. If you need one, come get it before we go into the consent agenda. And make sure you submit it to staff before you have your vote. The forms are available here. And first, we're going to hear from DEO. But just remember, there may be times where we don't have a presentation before the consent agenda. And at times, these consent agendas can be lengthy. So make sure when you get an email that shows everything that we're going to have on this committee that you're reviewing these projects. If there's anything that you want to have a question on and vote no on, make sure you know that when you come to the committee, so we don't hold up the committee process. With that being said, we're going to take the Department of Economic Opportunity first. We're going to do a status update on the modernization of the Reemployment Assistance Information Technology System. And we have the Deputy Secretary, Adrian Johnstone. Did I get that right? You are recognized.
All right, good morning, Chair. Thank you. Thank you, Vice Chair and members of the committee. I appreciate the opportunity to share some updates on the Reemployment Assistance Modernization Program with you this morning. Before I begin, I would like to acknowledge the investment made by the legislature and thank this committee for ensuring that the modernization program has the funding necessary to be successful. DEO has been appropriated $71.9 million, and that includes $15.5 million in general revenue and $56.4 million in federal funds. This is a huge investment, and we appreciate the trust placed in DEO to modernize this program. To start, I'd like to provide a brief overview of what the program is. During the 2021 legislative session, House Bill 1463 was passed and subsequently signed by law into law by Governor DeSantis. This law established DEO's Office of Economic Accountability and Transparency and created a path for implementing and reporting on progress towards an integrated modular system hosted in a cloud service for the Reemployment Assistance Program. Accordingly, the Reemployment Assistance Modernization Program is a multi-year effort that focuses on addressing the immediate need to improve performance and accessibility of the claims and benefits information system, while also establishing the architectural framework and processes necessary to implement continuous modernization efforts effectively and efficiently. The Reemployment Assistance Modernization Program consists of approximately 20 projects that address system infrastructure, software, data and analytics, and security. The infrastructure projects will support the capability to auto-scale both reemployment assistance claims and benefit system, information system, and the customer contact center based on workload and demand on the system. The software projects will ensure the system's architecture and interfaces enable timely services that are focused on the user experience. Data and analytics projects will enable interoperability and greater collaboration through data sharing, not just within the department, but also with partner agencies as well. The security projects will ensure all policies, procedures, and security controls are implemented through infrastructure, software, and data layers. Earlier this year, DEO received a strategic roadmap that lays out the components of modernization effort and depicts the estimated duration of each project as well as dependencies, as you can see here. These projects are focused on establishing the architectural framework and processes necessary to implement continuous modernization efforts while addressing the immediate need to improve performance and accessibility. Together, these projects will improve the user experience for claimants, employers, and third-party administrators. The modernization program began on July 1st, 2021, and is slated to last for 2 years. However, we know that there are requirements for continuous modernization after that 2023 deadline. This slide shows the reemployment assistance modernization journey to date and has more details on our progress and our next steps. As I mentioned earlier, the passage of House Bill 1463 established the Office of Economic Accountability and Transparency, and this created it also created the path for reemployment assistance modernization. From there, we have hit the ground running. To get us started, we hired a director of the Economic Accountability and Transparency Office. And as you can see, we have also initiated, completed, and achieved major milestones on several projects. DEO competitively procured for independent validation and verification services this past summer and secured a vendor to provide comprehensive review, analysis, and testing to confirm that each of the project's requirements are correctly defined and to confirm that each project is correctly implemented and work together as a system. DEO began submitting monthly reports to the legislature, which includes a status update on the modernization efforts and enhancements made to the existing claims and benefits information system. The data warehouse project, as you can see here shown in white, was completed shortly after modernization efforts began, and this has allowed us to launch a reporting project nearly a year early. Together, these projects alleviate some of the load on the existing system and allow DEO to standardize and streamline data for the program's federally mandated reports. Of the 49 reports included in this reporting project, 16 have been completed to date and submitted to the U.S. Department of Labor. Another project in the roadmap is the Reemployment Assistance Help Center. It is designed to continuously be developed and enhanced by deploying incremental functionality in phases. The Help Center offers information to claimants, employers, and third-party administrators about their claim as an alternative option to calling the contact center. Requests for assistance are put directly into work queues that are being handled by our team. Current functionality is available to users who are providing information or have questions about their eligibility, including work searches and job refusals. The Help Center also provides a secure upload path to help eliminate the burden of relying exclusively on submitting documents via fax, email, or regular mail. Additional functionality includes allowing users to report identity theft, verify their identity, receive assistance with accessing their claim, and report suspected fraudulent activity. The cloud migration project has also been initiated. To date, an assessment of the reemployment assistance system's components have been completed. This helps to determine the recommended approach for each of the components to be migrated to the cloud. An assessment of the various cloud hosting options has also been conducted to determine the appropriate solution for the system's security and development needs. Additionally, the department has executed a contract to transition the customer contact center to the cloud, so that work is in progress now. The identity management and user authentication project includes three phases that focus on claimants, employers, and third-party administrators, and then also staff. The first phase, which is focused on claimants, has been completed and deployed ahead of schedule, and this includes multi-factor authentication. DEO recently had a kickoff meeting with our vendor selected for the Strategic Planning Office, which will serve as a single point of contact for the project's budget, schedule, scope, and status reporting for the program. Immediate next steps for the roadmap include drafting and issuing a series of procurements for planning, design, development, and integration of various components of the modernized system. These procurements include business process optimization. This focuses on cataloging and re-engineering business processes that will drive many customer service enhancements, focused on streamlining the application process and improving system performance, availability, and claims processing. We will then have security architecture review services, which is intended to be released within the next month. Systems-oriented architecture and application programming interface services, a business rules engine, master data management services, incremental customer experience and user experience enhancement services, and a systems and software integration service. In October 2023, we will begin providing annual reports about reemployment assistance modernization to capture the continuous modernization efforts and future needs to continue supporting the best possible service to Floridians. As a note, I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge some challenges that we have experienced so far. DEO is not immune to the global competitive job market and has faced some challenges in securing and retaining specialized IT talent specifically. To overcome this, we have shifted our focus from procuring staff augmentation resources to procuring for projects. So this includes asking vendors to provide and supply the necessary talent needed to complete the projects. The Strategic Planning Office is a great example of this, where we ask the vendor to provide some project management support in addition to a center of excellence that will help to guide our project. To provide widely accessible and transparent information and updates, DEO has developed a Reemployment Assistance Modernization Program webpage, where we will store all of the content and updates pertaining to the program in a central and easily accessible location. This resource webpage is housed on floridajobs.org and available to individuals within DEO as well as to our partner, state partners, and other external stakeholders. Within the webpage, you will find a high-level overview of the modernization program, the project roadmap that I shared earlier that depicts the outline of all projects and processes that will be included in the program, an updated version of the modernization roadmap journey that shows progress thus far, any updates and milestones related to the program in a timeline format, starting with the final report that we received from ISF in February 2021. DEO will include two additional sections in the Reemployment Assistance Modernization webpage that are not there just now, but they will be deployed very soon. Those will include a section for frequently asked questions so that we can highlight key information as we receive feedback and questions from partners and stakeholders. We'll also include a section for documents and reports for the program. DEO will have all sections stood up in early next year and will continuously use this platform to provide updates and highlights about the program. As we continue on the journey to modernization, it is imperative that we protect the competitive nature of the program's procurements. DEO will be sure not to engage in discussions related to the scope, evaluation, or negotiation of any previous, current, or future procurements with vendors or their representatives. However, these stipulations do not apply to DEO's independent validation and verification vendor, who is precluded from bidding on future reemployment assistance modernization efforts. DEO is following all procurement guidelines mandated from the Florida Department of Management Services, Division of State Purchasing, as well as Florida statute. All vendors can refer to the resources provided by DMS regarding state term contracts, as well as information available on My Florida Marketplace. I'll also mention we hosted a webinar to discuss some of these details yesterday, and that will be available on our website as well, so people can refer back to that. On behalf of Secretary Dane Eagle and all of us at DEO, we are grateful to have the opportunity to provide these updates today on reemployment assistance modernization. DEO has worked diligently to ensure that Floridians who are in need receive coordinated services and benefits as quickly as possible. Through the modernization efforts of the Reemployment Assistance Program, we are actively working to more effectively and efficiently serve Floridians. This concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Johnstone, for the presentation. Members, we're going to open it up for questions. I do have a couple questions out the gate. From a budgetary standpoint, I know you mentioned the $72 million that we appropriated last year. Do you know how much of that has been spent to date?
So we are currently finalizing those numbers. We have a report due to the legislature in just a few days. So I don't have that right in front of me. We're trying to button all of that up, but we'll have that to you very shortly and can share that.
Okay, thank you. If you'll just share that with staff and we'll make sure that we get it to everybody. And then from hearing you talk, it sounds like this is a multi-year process. The $72 million that's already been appropriated, sounds like there will be more in the future that will need to be appropriated. Is there any kind of idea of what that number would look like on top of what's already been appropriated?
So I do want to make the distinction. There are additional costs that we continue to have related to the system, and that will continue on once this effort is done. We expect for all of these activities to be done with the existing appropriation. One thing to note, too, is that we have in legislation, I think I mentioned, that we'll start reporting out annually in October of 2023. And the purpose of that is to align with LBR requests so that we'll be able to present and show what the future needs are. So I don't know at this point, but we did put those processes in place so that we could be very transparent and allow for prioritization when the time comes.
Thank you. And then, so a little more pinpointed, when you look at slide 3, I've been briefed on some of the monthly status reports that you have, and some of the items on the status report will say or show that it's in progress, but then when you look at slide 3, under like software, you have the DevOps, the .NET and the ORM upgrade and the strategic planning office, it shows them as not active. What is the difference in the monthly report showing showing things are in progress and then them not being active?
That's a great question. Thank you. So there have been some preliminary work done. So most of that reflects the fact that we are working on procurements for some of these projects. So they're moving forward from that standpoint. There's been some preliminary groundwork done, but the official project may not have been kicked off yet.
So would changing them to being kicked off or them being officially active would be once the procurement is secured?
Complete and kicked off, yes.
Thank you very much. Members, do we have any other questions from committee? Vice Chair Malika Parsons, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Deputy Secretary, thank you for being here and for your presentation. I have a follow-up question to the Chair's question regarding slide 3-2. When I'm looking at it, it appears that there's multiple deliverables that are contingent on the prior completion of other deliverables. Are we on target with those initial deliverables, or how is that progress going to impact the overall schedule? And I know you spoke about staffing challenges, and are you seeing challenges from staffing or in the procurement process that is causing delay at this stage, or do you foresee that happening as we continue as well?
You're recognized.
Thank you for the question. So we did experience some challenges right off the bat with trying to hire, particularly for those specialized IT projects, and many of those that show as dependencies fall in that category. So what we did is we shifted very quickly. We changed our strategy to rely more on the vendors that we're procuring for specific projects to bring that staff on. So far, that's working out very well. And so while it shows on here as a dependency, what we've tried to do is stack things so that we're using the pieces that we can kind of in real time for the next piece in line. So it's not quite as linear as I think it looks on this graphic here, but we have shifted, and I think that that strategy is working out.
Thank you.
Vice Chair, you good?
I'm good.
Ranking Member Hart, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to allow Rep. Slossberg to go ahead of me.
Representative Slossberg, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Ranking Member. I have a series of questions. In order to effectively develop a plan to modernize the RA system, what agencies, experts, or resources did the DEO consult to ensure optimal results?
You're recognized.
Thank you. We are working with Florida Digital Services, Department of Financial Services, and the Department of Revenue very closely. This week we had a stakeholder meeting with them to continue to keep them up to date and also get their feedback and input on a regular cadence. So every time we do a procurement or we have kind of a new milestone coming up, we seek their input.
Okay. Follow up.
You're recognized.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. What action has been taken to ensure that RA program websites and applications are mobile optimized?
Great question. So that is one of the key requirements for the user experience, customer experience project. And so as we go through the business process optimization phase, we will make sure to build in stringent requirements that will then be carried out through the development cycle.
Okay. Representative Slossberg, you have another question?
Yes, thank you.
Okay,
thank you, Chair. Is the state exploring callback and chat technology to deal with the high call volume experienced by the RA program staff?
You're recognized.
We are exploring all options, absolutely. I will highlight that one of the key milestones and projects that we're focused on is the Reemployment Assistance Help Center. The idea there is a lot of the interaction that we have with claimants requires documentation. And in order to get that, facilitate the receipt of documentation needed in real time and exactly the type of information and documentation we need, it's critical that claimants and employers have a way to give that to us in a secure means. And so the Reemployment Assistance Help Center not only does that, but it also gets it and routes it to the team members who can work that in real time. So that's really a huge area that we're focusing on to make sure that folks have a way outside of the contact center to get resolution to their questions or issues.
Representative Schlossberg, are you good or you got more?
One more.
Okay, you're recognized.
Okay, thank you. During that modernization process, how is DEO monitoring compliance with civil rights requirements to provide materials and assistance in multiple languages and meet the needs of those individuals requiring assistance? What efforts have been made to ensure equitable access to RA program benefits?
Great question. One of the core requirements for the program is that we have all documents translated. So the system and related documentation must be translated into the highest language needs in our state, and that's based on census data. So we monitor that, and we do that now, and that will continue to be a requirement moving forward. For other accessibility requirements, that is also part of our business process optimization to ensure that we're building out those requirements that are compliant with law, but also just from a human-centered design perspective, make it easy for people to access the system and use it effectively.
Thank you.
Representative, you good?
Yep, thank you.
Ranking Member Hart, you're ready.
Good morning, Deputy Secretary. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I apologize, you all. I'm slightly under the weather, so bear with me. What is DOE doing as far as, are you all following applicable guidance that was issued by USDA, I mean, U.S. Department of Labor?
You're right.
Are you all?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So what kind of guidance are you relying upon that they provided you?
The U.S. Department of Labor provides regular guidance through what are called UPLs. I can't remember exactly what the acronym stands for, but they release those on a regular basis, and we also have very close communication with them. We have weekly meetings in order to get further clarification on the written guidance that they provide, and then we have monthly status meetings as well. So we're in constant communication with them. In addition to that, we provide reports. Some of those are weekly reports, so they can see the data coming from our system. Some of those are monthly, some are quarterly, but we have a series of those. As I mentioned, there are about 49 reports that we create that they monitor as well.
One more.
Follow up, you're recognized.
Yes, sir, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Has DOE looked at the previous audit reports and ensured that the problems that we had identified in the audits have been resolved?
Absolutely. That we've done extensive review of previous audits, and that has certainly factored into both what our requirements are going to be within the modernized program, but also how we're approaching the program.
Thank you.
Ranking Member, you have another question
in
there?
Yes, just one.
You're recognized.
Can you give me an idea how many applicants are you currently receiving on the unemployment calls in the system?
I can certainly get you those numbers, those exact numbers. It's been a little bit different with the holiday. But I know we're around 3,000, I believe, is where we're getting initial applications. Now, not all of those transition into individuals who are claiming benefits, but that's our initial application count.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that weekly, monthly, weekly about 3,000? One other question. Have we been able to fix the ability for people to go in and reset their passwords without a lengthy conversation with the DEO?
Yes, so that this summer we launched the multi-factor authentication effort, and so through that folks have a more streamlined way of accessing the system. It's more secure, and we're no longer reliant on the pins and the passwords that we were before.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Members, do we have any other questions? Representative Lamarca, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Deputy Secretary. Just to follow up on Rappart's question, what's prior to the pandemic, what was our average weekly claims?
You're recognized.
It was around, it's about the same. It was around 3,000, maybe a little bit less than that prior to the pandemic.
Okay, thank you very much.
Members, do we have any other questions? Your answer to Ranking Member Hart's question talking about going through the normal work, I know we had appropriated money for that last year. I think it was $36 million. Do you feel that there will be more money that needs to be appropriated to get through backlog and all of the things that are coming in and what needs to go out?
I think right now we are comfortable with the numbers that we have. So we do have a significant backlog remaining, but we are working with vendors where we can to get those numbers down and through some of the additional funds we've received from the U.S. Department of Labor. I think that we're covered for that period to reduce the backlog.
Members, do we have any other questions? Any other questions? Ranking Member Hart, you're recognized for another question.
Thank you. No, I don't have a question. Can I just make a comment?
You're recognized for a comment.
Thank you very much. I just want to thank you all's office for replying immediately when we send up what we were calling smart sheets. We are still getting them, and I just want to let you all know that we do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ranking Member. And I also want to say after session, we go back home, and a lot of times it's a little bit of a breather during the summer. And right after the pandemic with everything in full force, we were getting hundreds and sometimes thousands of emails from constituents. And I know that was just in my district. And I know that's happening in every district across the state. So thank you for everything that all of your staff has done to help us be good stewards of the taxpayers' dollars and good public servants to help people get their claims and get them processed. We really appreciate your help. And thank you for being here today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, members, that moves us out of our presentation and into the consent agenda. We are going to take that up now. We are not going to vote on each bill individually. We will have questions, debate, and we will vote only once on the agenda in its entirety. Remember, if you have a no vote on any particular bill, make sure you have submitted that form, the nay vote consent agenda form, right now to staff. Do we have any questions on the consent agenda? We have no questions on the consent agenda. Is there public testimony? We have a few speaker cards today. We have Wayne Messam, the City of Miramar Mayor, waving in support of HB 2351, the Miramar Parkway LED streetlight improvements. Thank you for being here, sir. We have Roy Clark with the Department of Veterans Affairs waving in support of House Bill 2371, the Monument to Women Veterans. Thank you for being here. We have Mario Bailey with the Town of Surfside waving in support of House Bill 2695. Thank you for being here. Do we have any other people in the audience that would like to wave in support? All right, seeing none, is there debate? Members in debate, seeing no debate. Before I call the vote, are there any nay vote forms on the consent agenda? There are no nay vote forms submitted. Remember, a yes vote signifies an affirmative vote for every bill on the consent agenda. Ms. Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Williamson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Persis Malika?
Yes.
Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Ranking Member Hart?
Yes.
Representatives Bell? Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
LaMarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Romo?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Slogsburg?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show the consent agenda passes. All of the bills on the consent agenda will be reported favorably. Also, members, please note, just because a bill passes the consent agenda does not mean that it will for sure be funded. It just gets them in the correct posture. All right, members, that is our meeting today. Thank you for everything. Representative Placencia moves, we rise. And with that, we're adjourned.